الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد. قال جل وعلا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected elders, brothers and little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Continuing from where I left last week, I was making a mention that when you talk about things of a sexual nature, it's important that you bear in mind the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-haya wa shu'batu min al-iman. That modesty, haya is part of iman. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha lam tastahi fasna ma shi'. That when a person doesn't have any haya, any modesty, then there's no limits. He'll transgress, he'll do whatever. So it's important that we bear this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in mind. And I give you an example of the language that Allah Himself, the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi, Himself has used in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about things of this nature. And I give you the example of the verse of the Quran. نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّ شِئْتُمْ. That your women are a place of cultivation, come to your place of cultivation however you wish. Now if you look at the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the language that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has used, you will find exactly the same. For example, in one hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, إِذَا جَلَسَ بَيْنَ شُعَبِهَا الْأَرْبَعِ ثُمَّ جَهَدَهَا فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْغُسْلِ. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, when a man sits between the four parts of a woman and then he exerts pressure, ghusl becomes wajib. Now look at the language. Again, the language is very, very indirect. There's a lot of haya in the language that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used. In another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked with regards to a woman who married a man, and this man gave her three talaq. He divorced her three times. After this, she married another man. And this second man, before he had full sexual relations with her, he divorced her. So the Prophet ﷺ was asked, is it halal for her now to go back to the first husband? So the Prophet ﷺ said, لا حتى تزوقي أسيلته ويزوق أسيلتك. These are the words. لا حتى تزوقي أسيلته ويزوق أسيلتك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no, till you do not taste the sweetness of one another. Now look at the language again. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he used the word أسيلة. It's from the word أصل. أصل means honey in Arabic. So till you don't taste the sweetness and the honey of one another, it's not permissible for this woman to go back to her first husband. Alangi, the Prophet ﷺ was referring to full sexual relations. But look at the language that the Prophet ﷺ used. There's a lot of haya inside the language. Again, I was telling you last week, we're not talking about jawaz, adam jawaz, what is permissible and what's not permissible. We're talking about language in which there's a lot more haya, because this deen of Islam is based on haya, is based on modesty. One Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, hawwaltu rahli al-layla. These are the words that he used. Hawwaltu rahli al-layla. Ya Rasulullah, I changed my saddle last night. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say anything. The verse of the Quran was revealed, Nisa'ukum harthul lakum fa'tu harthakum anna shi'tum. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Umar, Umar, come from the front or the back, as long as you refrain from the back passage and you refrain from a woman while she's menstruating, while she's on her period. Now, the reason I've narrated this incident is, look at the words Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used. He said, "Hawwaltu rahli al-layla." I changed my saddle last night. He's talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I changed my saddle last night. He wasn't literally referring to changing the saddle on his horse. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was referring to the position that he used to approach his wife to fulfill his need and desire. He was asking about a particular position. But look at the language that he's using. حَوَّلْتُ رَحْلِ الْلَيْلَى. Likewise, a woman came to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, my husband, during the nights he stands before the Almighty Allah in prayer. And during the day, he's always fasting." So Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to her, "Ya mashallah, you've praised your husband well." That's what Sayyidina Umar Farooq, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, understood from this language. So there was Ka'b there. Ka'b said, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, she's not praising her husband, she's complaining about her husband." So the Amir al-Mu'mineen asked, "What do you mean she's complaining? She's saying that, mashallah, he, you know, prays during the night and he fasts during the day." So he said, "You know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, she's complaining. And what she, her complaint is this, that this husband of hers doesn't take care of her needs and her rights. Because during the night, he's always praying. So he gives her no attention. He doesn't satisfy her needs and her desires. And during the day, he's fasting. And when a person's fasting, he can't satisfy his need whilst he's fasting, because it will break his fast." So she's actually complaining about her husband. So the Amir al-Mu'mineen said to Ka'b, "Since you've understood it better than me, you give her the answer." And the answer that the Sayyidina Ka'b gave was that out of every 4 nights she has, she's entitled to 1 night, and out of every 4 days she's entitled to 1 day. Now, the objective of relating all these different narrations is that when we talk about things like this, we maintain high standards. Al-haya wa shu'batu min al-iman. And if we're maintaining high standards in terms of the language, there's no indecency, then zahir baat, when you engage yourself with your wife and you satisfy your need, inshallah, there will be high standards there, and you will not transgress, and you know, and you will not do things which in Islam is not permissible to do. Now, the next point that I want to make here is, when a person fulfills his need with his wife and satisfies his desire, it's important that he makes the correct and right an intention. But okay, anything that is mubah in Islam, if somebody makes a good intention, he will be actually rewarded for the thing that he's done. For example, playing football. I don't think there's a single guy here that does not play football. Now, playing football is permissible. But if somebody makes a good intention whilst playing football, he'll actually be rewarded. I mean, what would be a good intention? For example, he makes intentional line playing football to keep fit and healthy, so when the call comes for me to elevate the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, I will elevate the kalima. Likewise, you know, eating is mubah, it's permissible. But if you make good intention whilst you're eating, you'll actually be rewarded for every morsel that you put inside your mouth. I mean, a good intention would be, for example, you're eating and you make this intention, Allah, in fulfilling the right of my body. Because by eating, you'll survive. Or you're making the intention, go, Allah, I'm eating so that I become strong and I'm able to, you know, have energy to worship you even more during the nights. Whether you do that or not, that's a different thing. But making this intention, for every morsel that you put inside your mouth, you'll be rewarded. Likewise, when a person satisfies his need and his desire with his wife, it's important that he makes the right intention. Now, what would be a right intention, a good intention? You make this intention, oh Allah, I'm seeking pious children. Oh Allah, I'm doing this to keep myself pure and to keep my wife pure. I'm doing this to fulfill the right of my wife. Now, if you do this and make this intention, this is how this amal will become a godly thing, and you will actually receive reward for it. The Prophet ﷺ in one hadith mentioned, "Inna bi kulli tasbihatin sadaqa." Every tasbih, every time you say Subhanallah, you will receive the reward of sadaqa. "Wa kulli takbiratin sadaqa." Every time you say Allahu Akbar, you will receive the reward of sadaqa. "Wa kulli tahlilatin sadaqatun." Every time you say La ilaha illallah, you will receive the reward of sadaqa. وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَحْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةٌ. When you enjoin good, you will receive the reward of sadaqah. And when you forbid evil, you will also receive the reward of sadaqah. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, وَفِي بُضْءِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةٌ. That when one of you comes to his wife and satisfies his own need and his desire, he will receive the reward of sadaqah. Now when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in heard this, when a person comes to satisfy his need with his wife, he will receive the reward of sadaqah. They ask, Ya Rasulullah, you know, this doesn't make sense. أَيَأْتِ أَحَدُنَا شَحْوَتَهُ. One of us comes and fulfills his desire, Allah will give him the reward of sadaqah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the Sahaba, can you tell me, if the same person was to commit haram, would he not be held accountable? Will he not have wronged Allah and sinned? Likewise, if he fulfills his need the halal way, he will receive reward, and he will receive the reward of sadaqah. Balki in Islam, before you even begin and engage with your wife, we've been told to keep a ta'alluq with Allah. This is why before you even begin, you read dua. Allahumma jannibna shaytan. وَجَنِّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا. Allahumma jannibni shaytan. Oh Allah, keep us away from the shaytan. وَجَنِّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا. And keep the shaytan away from the children that you give us. Yeah. So we need dua before we even engage to keep this ta'alluq with Allah. But once you've already engaged with your wife and you ejaculate, even in that state, we've been taught as Muslims to read a dua in our hearts and minds. Not allowed. In our hearts and minds. It was the practice of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is the dua that he would read. Allahumma la taj'al li shaytani fima razaqtana nasiba. Allahumma la taj'al li shaytan fima razaqtana nasiba. Wallah, do not leave a share for the shaytan in the children that you give us. So even when you're engaged at the time of ejaculating, we've been told to read a dua in our heart and mind. Yet we're keeping a ta'alluq with Allah even in that state. And this is how this same thing becomes an act of worship, and you will receive reward. So it's important that you make the right intention. Moving on to the next point that I'd like to mention is, and this is very, very important, both husband and wife have the right to sexual relations. You know, many men believe that this is just their right. Men are very vocal and they'll express it. Whereas women, naturally, they have a lot more haya, timid, shy, may not express it. Both are human beings, both have desires, and both have needs. And it's important as husband and wife that you are conscious of the need of each other, and you both take care of the need of each other whenever the need arises. It's very, very important, especially in this age of fitna. But in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, when a man calls his wife to satisfy his need, she should come to him وَإِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الطَّنُّورِ, even if she's next to the oven. And even if she's busy, engaged, cooking in the kitchen, she should leave that and she should come and take care of the need of her husband. Now the objective of this hadith, the message is loud and clear, that a wife should be conscious of her husband's needs, Likewise, a husband should be conscious of his wife's needs. Many marriages are breaking today because of this. Because we're not conscious of the needs of one another. I mean, I hear this all the time. Many men will come and complain that their wives do not take care of their needs. You know, when I've dealt with marital problems, and when you get to the bottom of it, you know, the man will say, you know what? She doesn't take care of my needs. And because she doesn't take care of my needs, okay, every time, you know, I want to satisfy my need and my desire, she'll always complain of a headache, or, you know, she'll use the kids as an excuse, whatever. She'll look for a way to get out of it. As a result of which, I made sabr, but then it got to a stage where, because I was deprived, I went elsewhere and the marriage came to an end. But at the same time, there are men that wrong their wives. There are many men out there that will have something on the side. Halanki, it's haram. I already told you the consequences of zina a few weeks ago. Because it's the dumb thing in this day and age, people think it's fine to have a wife at home, astaghfirullah, who cooks and cleans, and is, you know, treated like a slave, and something on the side for you to enjoy. So something on the side for you to enjoy, you fulfill your own need and desire and the needs of this woman. But the one at home is non-existent. كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ She's not like as if she's married, and nor is she kept as if she's divorced. And we just leave her like this. And because women are naturally timid and shy, you know, they don't feel that they're in a position to actually express things like this. So that's why it's important. What will they do thereafter? Zahir Bata, if you do not take care, if your need is not taken care of, you'll turn to zina. You'll fornicate, you'll commit adultery. Likewise, if you do not take care of the need of your wife, what will happen? For how long will she make sabr? She'll also resort to zina and adultery. And before you know it, the marriage will come to an end. This is why in Islam, this is something which is halal 24/7. 24/7 is halal for you to approach your wife. Likewise, vice versa, for her to approach you and you fulfill your need. Even when she's pregnant and even when she's breastfeeding. But in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, you know what, I thought of prohibiting ghayla. Now ghayla is fulfilling your need when your wife is breastfeeding. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I thought of prohibiting ghayla, but then I remember the Romans and Persians do this, and it doesn't harm their children. So the Prophet ﷺ then didn't prohibit ghayla. So it's permissible day and night. The only time it's not permissible is when your wife is on her periods, when she's menstruating, and when she's in the state of nifas, when she's given birth to a child. You know that bleeding, postnatal bleeding, that's called nifas. These are two times when it's not permissible for you to fulfill and satisfy your need. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you with regards to hairs, you know, when a woman's on a period. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَن Say it's a filthy thing. فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءُ فِي الْمَحِيدِ Stay well away from women whilst they're menstruating. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْحُرْ Don't go close to them, don't approach them till they're pure and cleansed. When they're pure and cleansed, then approach them from where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to approach them. Now this verse of the Quran was revealed because the Yahud, their practice was when their women would come on periods, they would totally disassociate. They wouldn't eat with them, they wouldn't speak with them, they wouldn't even sleep in the same room with them. So the Sahaba asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this. This is when this verse of the Quran was revealed, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, explaining this verse, إِسْنَأُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا النِّكَاءِ That you can do everything, you can associate with them, you can eat with them, you can drink with them. The only thing that you can't have with them is sexual relations. That's why the Prophet ﷺ himself demonstrated, you know, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala would be on a period, you know, his wives, they would be on their periods. He would sit with them, he would sleep with them, you know, on the same bed. But again, the Prophet ﷺ with our mother, Aisha, would chew meat from a bone while she was on a period. The Prophet ﷺ would take it from her. And he would eat from the same place, place his lips on exactly the same place from where our mother had chewed meat from the bone. She would drink water from a glass. The Prophet ﷺ would take that glass and he would drink from exactly the same spot. The Prophet ﷺ, whilst our mother was on a period, would place his lap, place his head on her lap, and he would recite the Quran. Prophet ﷺ was teaching the Sahaba, when women are on their periods, you don't behave like the Yahud were doing. Balki, you can do everything. The only thing that you can't do is have sexual relations with your wife. Balki, anyone that does it, he'll be committing a haram. And if he thinks it's halal, it will take him out of the fold of Islam. That does not mean to say that you cannot enjoy your wife while she's on her period. You can enjoy your wife from above the navel and below the knees. From above the navel and below the knees. You can enjoy your wife, whether you embrace, whether you cuddle, whether you kiss. Any part of your body can touch that part of her body, from above her navel and below her knees. You can touch without any clothing or any barrier in between. The area between the navel and the knees, you cannot touch that without clothing. There can't be direct skin-to-skin contact. But our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala would say, now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when one of us went on her periods, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell her to wear a lower garment, and that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would approach her and come close to her. Now the next point that I'm going to make, I haven't got long left, I'm just going to choose those that are important. Another important point is that you make preparations for one another. You adorn yourself and you beautify yourself and you prepare yourself. I mean, this is another problem today that we've got as a result of which, talaqs are taking place one after the other. Yeah, you get many men complaining. And this, this is a typical complaint from a man. That, she never adorns herself for me. But okay, you get men complaining that she just wears the whole day, she's wearing her nightgown. She doesn't even comb her hair. And I've told her many times, and because she doesn't do it, what am I supposed to do as a man? So I go pay for the services elsewhere. It happens, it's happening. And as a result of which, talaq takes place. Yet the same woman, he'll say, she spends hours adorning herself and beautifying herself when she goes out. She'll go to a nikah, a wedding, or a party, or whatever, with her friends. She'll spend hours on that particular day. She makes Kim Kardashian look silly. But for me, she never does it, as a result of which I turn elsewhere. It takes two to tango. You'll get women that complain about their husbands. Don't get me wrong. You'll get women, I'll give you a typical complaint, that he comes home, he works in a garage, I'm just giving you an example. He smells of oil and grease, and in that state he expects me to satisfy his need as if I'm a machine that he presses a button and I can just deliver. It doesn't work like that. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, listen to what Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas, the cousin of Rasulullah and the companion of Rasulullah, he would say, I like to adorn myself for my wife as much as I like my wife to adorn herself and beautify herself for me. Takes two to tango. Just like you're a human being and you like to see particular things or your wife in a particular way, she's also a human being. And she also has needs and wants and desires, and she also likes to see her husband not full of grease and oil. She likes to see her husband in a particular way. I mean, look at the Prophet ﷺ and the teachings of the deen with regards to cleanliness. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَحِّرِينَ. Allah loves those that are pure. أَتُّهُورُ شَطْرُ الْإِيمَانِ. Cleanliness is half of faith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلُ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is beautiful, He loves beauty. Yeah. Look at the Prophet ﷺ himself. The Prophet ﷺ, when he would enter inside his house, the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ would do is miswak, he would clean his teeth. Why? Because for his wives. Prophet ﷺ was very conscious when it came to the Azwaj Mutahharat. But again, there's a beautiful incident in hadith that will show you how conscious the Prophet ﷺ was. After Asr every day, the Prophet ﷺ would come and visit his wives, all of them. He would speak to them, talk to them, ask them with regards to their needs and their well-being and take care of their needs. Now, on one occasion, our mother, Hazrat Zainab, she received some honey from somewhere. Now, the Prophet ﷺ used to love honey. So when the Prophet ﷺ would come to visit her, she would make a honey drink for the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ would sit there for a little longer and drink that honey drink. Now our mother Hazrat Aisha sensed this and saw this. Why is it that the Prophet ﷺ stays a little longer with Zainab? Now Aisha and Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala would compete. There was a lot of lively competition. And because of this, the Azwaj al-Mutahara were two groups. There were those that sided with Aisha and that would support Aisha, and there were those that supported our mother Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. So what Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha did was, her team, she called them and she addressed them and she said to them that, you know, when the Prophet ﷺ comes to visit you after Asr, ask the Prophet ﷺ, did you eat maghafir? Now maghafir is a sticky gum, sweet gum, which has an unpleasant smell from the Urfut tree. Now Aisha knew that the Prophet ﷺ doesn't like smell. So she said to them, okay, when the Prophet ﷺ comes to you, ask him, have you eaten maghafir? The Prophet ﷺ will say to you, no. Then say to the Prophet ﷺ, okay, Ya Rasulullah, where's this smell from then? The Prophet ﷺ will say to you, I've had a honey drink at Zainab's. Okay. Then say to the Prophet ﷺ, okay, it seems that the bees that produce this honey have taken their nectar from the Urfut tree. She told him all this sabak. I want every one of you to say this. And that's exactly what they did. When the Prophet ﷺ came to Hazrat Hafsa, the daughter of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, she asked, Ya Rasulullah, have you eaten maghafir? Prophet ﷺ said, no. Where's this smell from? Prophet ﷺ said, okay, I don't know. I've only had a sharbat drink from Zainab's house. So Hazrat Hafsa said, it seems that these bees that produce this honey took the nectar from the Urfut tree. Now the Prophet ﷺ vowed, he took an oath, that from now on I will never have this sharbat drink. Look how conscious the Prophet ﷺ was with regards to his wife. He made something which was halal, haram upon himself. And the verse of the Quran was revealed, كَيَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِي لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَبْدَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ. Why do you make something which was halal, haram, seeking the pleasure of your wives? Now the reason I've narrated this incident is, look how conscious the Prophet ﷺ was when it came to his wives. I learned the Prophet ﷺ, there was no one better than him. The sweat on his body was more fragrant than musk. And the Sahaba would actually collect his sweat and use it as their itar, and it was the best itar. But in spite of this, he was conscious. This is why he said, Man kana lahu sha'run falyukrim. Whoever's hair, he should honor it. Prophet ﷺ himself would make an effort. He would apply surma in his eyes. The Prophet ﷺ would comb his hair, his beard. Prophet ﷺ would regularly wear oil, apply oil to his hair, to his head. So it's important that you make the effort, and she also makes the effort. Zahir Bate, if any woman wants to protect the chastity and the purity of her husband, it's important that she adorns herself just like she adorns herself for hours on end when she goes out for an occasion. Likewise, it's important for a husband, if he wants to protect the purity and chastity of his wife, he also adorns himself and beautifies himself. Inna Allah Jameel Yuhibbul Jamal. Very, very quickly, guys, I'm just going to choose a few things which are important. I've got about 4 minutes. I think the women need to know this. You'd be surprised at what a woman can do in terms of adornment for a husband. So much flexibility in the deen. I mean, I know you guys are going to like something like this. Any type of clothing in your private chamber, she can wear. And our women need to know this. And if there's any particular type of women's clothing, and you know what I'm referring to, that your husband likes, then please bring a smile on his face. You can wear jewelry, you can wear, you know, makeup, mascara, but again, you can go as far as dyeing your hair, as long as the dye is halal. You can remove unwanted hair from your face, your arms, your legs. So there's so much flexibility. But again, you know, the remarkable thing is, if she does this with the intention of pleasing her husband, she'll actually be rewarded. She'll get sawab and ajr for it. So you know the hours that she spends won't go to waste. She'll be rewarded for it. Very, very quickly, it's permissible for both husband and wife to look at each other from head to toe without any clothing whatsoever. Sayyidina Usman ibn Mas'ud said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I feel ashamed that my wife sees my nakedness. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you a covering for them, and Allah has made you a covering for them, and Allah has made them a covering for you, then why are you shy? Likewise, it's permissible for a man to touch his wife and kiss her from head to toe, and vice versa. It's permissible for a man to kiss his wife from head to toe, and vice versa. Having said this, it is not permissible to take anything impure and impurity inside your mouth. I'm sure you've understood my language. That should answer your question. Likewise, it is not permissible to use aids in which you're hurting one another. Again, I'm sure you've understood. At the same time, I'd like to mention, I mentioned that it's permissible to look at one another without anybody in clothing. It is not permissible to take a picture, a common disease, of yourself in that state or your wife in that state. Even if it's for own personal use, it is not permissible to take a picture in that state. Another common question. It is permissible for you to take a shower or a bath with your wife. Our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala relates that she and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take a bath together from one tub, and then they would take turns in putting their hands inside the water. And with regards to positions, I've already mentioned last week, every position is permissible as long as you're inserting in the place of cultivation, which I explained last week is only the front passage. So it doesn't matter how you come, as long as you're inserting in front of the front passage, it is permissible. Unfortunately, I haven't done justice to this subject because it's a Jummah. There's only so much that you can say. It was very, very difficult for me. But okay, I thought pretty courageous actually trying to do this. You've got 500 guys. Yeah, you can just look at the looks in your eyes. You know, hungry guys. Believe me, it's not easy to sit here and talk about this one-to-one, never mind with so many people. So I haven't done justice, and nor did I come with the intention of doing justice. I've just touched upon main masail, which you, the public, share with me on a regular basis. There are things which I've left. If there are things that you're unsure about, I'm here 24/7. You can approach me, and inshallah, I will give you the relevant guidance. If there are things, guys, I do not sit here on a Friday just to tell you jack and notice. Okay, I'm not here for that. I'm here to address problems and issues that we have and to make a better community. If there are things that you are concerned about and it's affecting our children as a whole, then please feel free to approach me and tell me to address it. You know, I do not know it all. So it's important, if there are issues and there are problems that you're facing and you want me to address them on a Jummah, then feel free, inshallah. You know, when I get the time, I will address as many of your requests as possible. Allah give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq.